Well, I'm back, and we're joined by telephone with Neela Schwartzberg. Good morning, Neela. Love your article, Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. Sounds like a little bit of touch of John Denver there.
Yes, that's a bit of homage to Mr. Denver and that wonderful song.
You know, before you begin into your article, which is really a great article, and there's some great pointers for people who plan on going out to Colorado, but I recently saw a special on a memorial park that John Denver's family built there, and it had climbing rocks for kids with inscriptions of the songs he had written over the years. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it was really quite impressive, and I thought, what a wonderful way to let people share in what he did. And it was, because he really, John is really a poet in a sense, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
And of course, that was a place very close to his heart. But now, let's talk about something that was very close to your heart, and this was this great trip you went on.
It was wonderful. I guess for me, Colorado has always meant the Rocky Mountains. And I was delighted. I was thrilled to be able to go and visit them. And even more delighted, or equally delighted, to discover all the other things that Colorado has to offer beyond the Rocky Mountains. But they were as gorgeous as I had hoped they would be.
You know, it was an interesting point when you said there's so much more to see beyond the Rocky Mountains, and as a born and raised New Yorker myself, I could certainly appreciate that. And then, of course, you bring Estes Park is one of the first places you touch on.
It's a charming town. It's a great jumping-off point for the Rockies because they're just a few miles down the road, and Estes Park is a full town with a wide range of accommodations, wonderful restaurants, the fantastic Stanley Hotel, fishing and hiking and all the stuff that you'd want to do is in the park as well as in the town. Plus, at the end of the day of being in the Rocky Mountains, if you want to experience a bit of luxury and a hot meal, there you are. They're just very, very close. And that's the other thing that surprised me about the Rocky Mountains, Rocky Mountain National Park, and that is how accessible it is.
Right, exactly.
I guess I had a kind of a contradictory view of the Rocky Mountains as both very, very, the heart of the wilderness. You know, you'd have to, like, work so hard to get there. And yet, at the same time, I envisioned mile-long traffic jams.
Well, exactly. And not only that, when we think of Colorado, we think of the big ski areas, but there's so much more.
Yes. Yes.
And what I loved is that it is when you get out there looking for these smaller places to stay in, cottages and roadside motels and condos, as you mentioned along the way, and the Stanley Hotel.
Mm-hmm. The Stanley Hotel is a really interesting place with quite a history. It was, of course, built by F.O. Stanley. And he built it, well, he needed to go out to Colorado because he was suffering from health problems. And he was really in very bad physical shape. And his doctors said to him, well, maybe the dry air of Colorado will help because we really don't know what else to do for you. So he went out there. He went out to Colorado. And as if, you know, Colorado was a tiny little place as opposed to the huge.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So he went out to the Rocky Mountain area. And his health improved, and he loved it out there. So he and his wife, you know, would visit, but they didn't have a really lovely hotel to stay at. And F.O. Stanley and his wife wanted his friends to come and join them. So he built this luxury hotel, and it was filled with firsts. It was the first hotel, I think, with telephone and with electricity, although they had gas backup, and the first hotel that you had to take a car to get to, even if you arrived by train into the train station, you still couldn't get there any other way but car.
Well, it's wonderful to have the means to do that, but what also is wonderful is that people today can still enjoy that. That's the wonderful part about it.
Yes.
It just didn't go to waste. It wasn't a selfish thing that it may have been in the beginning. But
yeah. But he actually did a tremendous amount of good for the town because in the process he built an electric generator, the first electric generating plant for the town, and he paved the roads. And when they opened Rocky Mountain National Park, the area had actually been hunted and fished out because people had been going there for like hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought in a lot of stuff to restock it. So he was, in his own way, not only good to himself and his wife, but very generous to the town.
Yeah, that's great. Now, being a native New Yorker as you are,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, as soon as you leave the city, the first thing you think is off-roading in the national park.
Oh, Roy, I can't tell you how much I enjoy that.
Tell us about it. It sounds really great. I mean, to get into a Hummer and come on, I can't wait. Let's for you to share this with our audience.
Yeah. Okay. I'm delighted to. You cannot off-road in Rocky Mountain National Park.
Or in Central Park.
Well, you can.
On a bike.
But they don't like it. But you can go off-roading at the other national forests. In specifically, you can go in the Theodore Roosevelt Forest.
Right.
And American Wilderness Tours, which is the company of Odd Lingam, Odd being his first name, which he loves to say his mother named him that because she couldn't spell peculiar. And so he runs these tours. You can go up a day tour or an evening tour. And if you go for an evening tour, you can... they build a bonfire and they barbecue and you can watch the sunset and the stars come out. But we did the day trip, which was wonderful. So we all pile into this Hummer, and it's a real Hummer. And we go down the road, and Odd points to this peak 9,000 feet up, and he tells us that's where we're going to go in this Hummer. And I didn't know if I should believe him or not, because he's a bit of a jokester.
Right.
But off we go. And he does this thing with this switch, because real Hummers have tires that can inflate and deflate.
And deflate, yes. Uh-huh.
So he flips this switch, and the air goes out of the tires, which is supposed to give us a smoother ride. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. and we're going off-roading. And this road... And it was at one time a road. It was actually an old stagecoach trail. And he points to this big boulder, and he says, people in other vehicles have to go around this boulder because it's over a foot high. But he says, we don't have to. And then the Hummer proceeds to climb over this boulder a foot and a half high.
Now, how high up on the mountain are you at this point?
We're pretty high up. I mean, we went up 9,000 feet in total on this boulder-strewn road with inclines that staggered me. A Hummer took them in stride. It turns out a Hummer has another trick besides the inflating and deflating tires and this wonderful ability to climb over boulders. It stops. If you take your foot off the gas,
uh-huh.
or if you take your foot off the brake, there's no sliding down.
I mean, when you're on your downhill angle.
Mm-hmm. Or uphill. If you're going uphill
right.
and you take your foot off the
right.
gas, up to a 45-degree angle, that vehicle just stays there.
It just breaks, yeah.
Yeah. So we just thought it was the coolest thing, and we all took turns vrooming our way down the road, climbing over these boulders. And taking our foot off the gas or the brake just to watch the Hummer do its tricks. And it was beautiful. I mean, when we did get there, we stopped and we were in an aspen grove.
And you even got to drive it, I understand.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the golden moments.
Yeah, I mean, of course, now when you've gone back to New York, you've ordered one. You can drive around town and up and down hills. And
yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to the... So you actually got to drive the Hummer
mm-hmm.
when you're up around 9,000 feet in the Rockies. I mean, how amazing.
Exactly. It was just amazing. It was an amazing experience. It was so cool to have that kind of power. It was quite intoxicating.
Power, listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
There are also other ways you can go now. According to your article, the park rangers can provide a variety of hike strolls, plant and wildlife observation programs and tours. And things for kids as well, I understand.
Yes, they have an amazing program. They really want the park to be used by people. They want people to come and enjoy it.
Right.
And they've made it as easy as they can. They have wonderfully paved roads. They have a shuttle bus, so you can drive into the park, park at one of the lots, and take a shuttle bus to some of the main trailheads, you know, the places where you can go hiking off into the woods. And then they have all these trails which vary in difficulty, and some of them are accessible to people with physical difficulties in walking because they're absolutely level trails.
Right.
In fact, that's where I saw my big elk. We were on the search for elk. I mean, we're a bunch of East Coasters there, and all we want to do is see elk.
Right.
So they're driving us all over the place searching for elk.
Right.
And ironically enough, we're walking on this accessible trail, which is very, very flat. And somebody goes, "Nella, Nella, look to your right. Look to my right."
And there it was.
Elk.
Beautiful. And you got some good photos.
Not of the elk. He didn't want to pose.
Oh.
So I did get some beautiful.
Did you know who you were? I mean, after all.
I said to him, wait, I'll immortalize you.
That's right. I'm the offbeat kid from New York.
But he didn't. He wasn't impressed. He went bounding off into the woods. But it was beautiful.
Now, you say that a Trail Ridge Road, which is at 12,183 feet,
yeah,
is the highest continuously paved road in the U.S., and it was built to take people over the Continental Divide, so you know you can see the romantic and majestically beautiful place where the waters divide. But you say even in June, you get snowflakes and drizzle, which created ice.
Yeah, they closed the road. We couldn't go over it. I was really quite devastated, but I recovered. But the weather there is changeable. They say the mountains make its own weather, and it's true. We were there for 4 or 5 hours, and it went from sunny to very cold, snowing, drizzling, icy, back to sunny and comfortable. And this is just in a few hours. And we didn't go, you know, up and down mountains. We were in the same general area. So it is very changeable. You really do have to be careful. And I was quite upset not to be able to go over that road. But perhaps another time. There's certainly a lot of other stuff to say.
But it's a great article. And for those that are listening, I highly recommend you, if you're not listening on our website, to go to our website. And you can click on the article there and read it in depth, or you can go to Neela's website. Which is it on the Offbeat?
It's on Offbeat Travel. www.offbeattravel.com.
Well, Neela, that's just super, and I thank you. And it's always a pleasure. And I hope on one of these occasions we all get to visit together and chat about all this at some time.
Oh, I think that would be a wonderful idea. We have to get Bob to arrange it.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much. We've got to go to break, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Roy.
Okay, bye-bye, Neela.
Bye.
Well, that was Neela Schwartzberg, who is always, always, always a pleasure to chat with. We're going to go to break now, and let's see, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Peter Flattery, and I'll tell you more about that as soon as we come back, so stay tuned.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing a new total all-inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodation.